At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It again. Some kind of happiness is measured out in miles. What makes you think you're something special when you smile? Childlike, no one understands. Jackknife in your sweaty hands.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 205. Happy Friday to everybody.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So, my band is playing next Sunday, and Dave Cowles, my guitarist, he and I have been together for 25 years. Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
Dave and I have been in a band together continuously. I mean, you know, we took COVID off like everyone did for 25 years. That's something else. And I love Dave to death. And he hasn't been feeling very well lately. And I can, by the way, I'm not doxing him. I can say this because Dave posted it today on his social media. But he came to practice last night and let us know that he has cyclospora. Yeah. So that was something. And I immediately turned around and Googled, can you catch this from a person?
Dave, not been watching the news.
While standing outside.
But you can't. So
he's like, conceivably, could one band member give this to another band?
Right. If you're singing really loud next to a guy that's got a parasite. But no, they had, I don't think they misdiagnosed him, but they didn't diagnose it for, you know, a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And they finally did the test, and like, sure enough, there it was.
Man.
And he can't trace it back. You know, he said when the whole thing started, he's like, well, I'm done with lettuce. And it ordered a couple things that had lettuce on it, took it off, but even that could have been enough.
Yeah.
So, but look out. It's out there.
Yeah, it was just in the news. It's pretty busy in Missouri right now.
Certainly is.
Yeah. I've got that audio whenever you want to do it.
Yeah, I want to play this for Wheeler. Did you hear about this story, Wheels, where the Philadelphia Phillies auctioned off the ability to come into the booth. Mm-hmm. Did you see the story?
I did.
Okay, so I want people to hear this. So this is the sound of the guy who bought his right at the auction to sit in on the booth.
We're pleased to welcome Lewis Kolb from Medford Lakes, New Jersey. He is our Phillies' fantastic auction winner. He outbid the competition to spend an inning and do some play-by-play in the booth. And Lewis, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. It's a thrill to be here. It's a lifelong dream to be in the Phillies broadcast booth. So here we go. Painter with the first pitch to Ortiz. It's in there for strike one call. Phils with two in the bottom of the second to take the lead. As we start the top of the third, now Painter delivers. It's bounced foul.
Pretty good.
Towards the Phillies.
Pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean it's a bit of an imitation, but it's good.
Yeah. Are you saying that you don't think that's his real voice? And
yeah, I don't think he talks like that. I've never met the man, but I don't think he talks like that. But it's the right pace, right? Like, a lot of it, when you listen to like a John Rooney, you listen to Jack Buck when he was calling games, like a lot of what's so great about them is that pacing.
Yeah.
Right? Because the baseball and basketball and football and hockey, they're all different. And having the pace is kind of giving your fans that are listening on the radio especially the feeling of the action, right? So when you're calm, it's calm. But when things start to heat up, you pick up. I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
he clearly put in a lot of work to prepare for that.
I have always said when I like would give talks at colleges or high schools or such for people who wanted to be creatives, Rachel did a couple of those with me, I always tell them that the magic to being a play-by-play guy or hosting a radio show or doing stand-up or playing in a band, anything that's performance, is your comfort, your true comfort,
not
your fake comfort.
Right.
And you only get comfortable by doing whatever it is you're doing and sucking at it and failing at it and realizing that you didn't die and it's okay. And then you find your voice. And that's what we have like with Ricky and John. We had, of course, with Buck and Shannon. Mm-hmm. They were very talented, but by the end of their careers, they were just so comfortable.
Yeah.
And just listening to them, half the time I didn't even clock what they were saying. It was just that mellifluous sound of their voices just was so comforting.
Yeah. And it's like, that. Obviously it applies to broadcasting, but when we have Davide in with the artists, it's the same thing, right? You have to fail. You have to take criticism. You have to find out what people do and don't like, and then you keep progressing from there. Anything that you're going to do as far as like, producing music, you're using your voice, doing something athletically. It's the same thing for a baseball player.
Sure.
You got to fail. Like, all right, this is my batting stance. And like, oh man, that doesn't work. Maybe we should tweak that. Maybe you got to change that. Like, that's the same thing with how you throw and how you run. So that's a universal thing, I think, is the more you do something, you got to get the feedback. You got to figure out what doesn't work so you can start to eliminate those things. What does work, you lean into, and then you build around that.
In a related topic, like I said, we had band practice last night. And I played drums my whole life, and I'm playing drums on several songs per set, but I've never played drums and sang backup, and I've never done harmonies, and I'm doing those things now, and I'm having a blast with it. But what I noticed last night, because you know how people, everyone thinks that you're the main character, right? And if, say, you're going to a wedding, you think, I have to look amazing. Because everyone's going to be looking at me. And the truth is, no one's looking at you.
No.
They're looking at themselves.
They're all the main character, too.
Yes. And last night, we're running through a song, and I'm playing, and I'm singing, and I realize I'm not listening to these guys at all. I am totally focused on my part. Am I doing this right? Sound okay? You know what I mean? And like that's just such a truism in life. Mm-hmm. Just relax. No one's all that interested in you. Which I find incredibly comforting.
You guys joke, like, how am I the way I am? It's partly that. Because I know most people don't care about what I'm doing, saying, wearing.
Yeah.
You're walking down the street, nobody's going, what's up with that guy? They're just not, they're thinking about their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Vic says, you've got Eric Knost as a drummer. He's so good. I got to tell you, Vic, I've been trying to help him. I've been trying to help Eric. No, Eric's fantastic. He's the opposite of me. I'm completely instinct, and Eric like went to school for it, has his PhD, like he's a true musician.
Right.
And so funny, like last night, and they do this, and I told them after this happened, I'm like, I think you guys are just effing with me. I really do. Because we'll be doing a song, and they're like, what are you playing there? Is that an F major seventh diminished? And they're like, no, it's a sixth. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize that you had flattened the. And I'm just like, you're making this up. No one knows these things. That's not a real thing.
It's like twins with their secret language.
There's no such thing as an F minor diminished ninth chord. Just shut up.
Did you say stop showing off?
I did.
It's not cute.
You guys, oh, look at Smarty Pants is over here.
Sure.
Oh, it's so cool how you dedicated your life to this craft and now you're really good at it. Oh,
I don't even know stuff.
Good for you.
No one's impressed.
Betty.
All your blood, sweat, and tears are paying off.
Oh, look at you. Look at Mr. Proficient at what I do. Okay. Yeah. It's all getting in line to congratulate you. Meanwhile, I'm over here just faking an open
jean. You deserve every bit of success. Yes, yes.
You're like, I actually kept all my blood, sweat, and tears. Thank you. And now I have the most.
Yeah.
So which one of us is really ahead?
I have so much more room in my brain I didn't fill with music theory.
Have you guys ever seen those TikToks that are like, at the end of the day, no one's ever going to notice those hours you spent and all that time you were working, because I didn't do any of that.
I just find it threatening. So do a little DJ's happy hour, right? You want to go?
Yes. Have you guys ever fully created your own recipe for something from scratch? Like, had an idea and been like, I'm going to have to implement this myself.
Well, I had my great cherry pie cheesecake idea, which I have yet to implement.
That is a good idea.
We seriously need to do that. You don't even need to make the cherry pie, right? You can just buy that and then...
I don't have to make anything.
Yeah, well,
just smoosh two things together. That's how I roll.
Because right now, and I hope no one is listening...
They're not.
I would like to perhaps make a homemade ice cream cake for the first time.
Oh.
But I want to use the Fat Boy Churro ice cream sandwiches as like the base.
Ooh.
But then I'm like, how would I do this exactly? So I'm trying to think of like the best ice cream to go with that and how I would put this all together. I'm not like cooking something. I'm not making something from scratch, but I'm coming up with the flavor profiles on my own.
Wait, you want to make homemade ice cream?
I want to make a homemade ice cream cake.
Cake, okay.
And then a lot of times people will make homemade ice cream cakes and they'll just kind of like layer ice cream sandwiches and like Cool Whip or something. I would like to maybe do like a bottom layer of the Fat Boy sandwiches because those are really good. And then like maybe like a layer of like caramel ice cream, layer Cool Whip.
I feel like no one wants to hear this.
Yeah.
No.
But the best thing to go with churro sandwiches like that, it's going to be vanilla. It's just going to be vanilla ice cream.
They're going to be in the sandwich, though. Like, vanilla ice cream is in there.
Yeah, the vanilla's in there, and then it has big, like, caramel swirls
ribbon.
In it.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I'm like, for the top layer, should I go, like, more
caramel? You want to put, like, a little sheet of cake on there and then more on top?
A sheet of ice cream sandwich, like, yes.
No, that and then cake and then more ice cream.
I'm worried the cake would get soggy.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think of that.
Typical Wheeler.
I'm just saying, this all
he
sounds good.
He never thinks of the stuff.
No, she's put some ideas in my head now. I think I have to play with this. This is fun.
What if instead of an ice cream sandwiches and cake, like you tripled it and then...
Like when you get an ice cream cake from a Baskin Robbins, there's sometimes a lot of cake in there or a little bit of cake in there somewhere.
I've only ever had Dairy Queen ice cream cake. Same. And then my sister-in-law, Sarah, has made homemade ice cream cake before. And if I'm remembering correctly, it was kind of like a dupe of the Dairy Queen ice cream.
Why don't
cream
we
cake?
Eat ice cream cakes more?
I know.
Good question.
It's
maybe
a great question.
Now, maybe a stupid question.
Probably because they cost $97.
But is the cake being soggy, is that really that much of a concern? Because it's all getting eaten in a big lump scoop, right?
Well, I'm not going to eat the whole thing.
Right, you
got to
think
serving.
About this lasting, but you're going to be putting it in the freezer. So.
Well, that's fair.
Right.
I forgot other people don't eat entire cakes in one sitting.
What about actual churros between that?
This is an idea.
See? Brainstorm.
Maybe crumble them up.
Or even just like adorn the top with some
chunks. There you go. Rach has got
it. Like the crispy onions on the top of a green bean salad.
Rach, you just nailed it.
I think we're putting something together.
See, this
here,
is what
boys.
Happens when you get smart brains together. You come up with ideas.
This is what happens with the smart brains.
This is how they built the bomb.
Andrew's like, but why wouldn't you just put it in a big funnel?
I know. I'm over here like, well, you gotta remember, you're gonna be putting your whole face directly into the cake.
It all fits in the trough. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the trough.
And the cake's only gonna be on the table for about 2 minutes. Yeah. So it's like, are you really that worried about it being soggy?
What are you trying to impress, Rage? Just put it in my mouth.
There's not going to be leftovers.
Whoever's eating is going to be laying under the table and having it pushed through a hole to fall directly into their mouth anyway.
So when are you going to do this?
For someone's birthday next week who may have been mentioned earlier in the show.
Oh, gotcha.
Because my birthday was just recently, but he got me like a wonderful cake, but it's big, so we're still eating.
Yeah, still.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, that's like two similar cake because we like similar cakes.
Right, right.
So that's back to back.
Trying like, to change maybe, it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches to be like, we have too much birthday cake around right. here, but
let's add some ice cream to it.
Yeah, but maybe switching it up with a different kind of
I think the cake. Funniest relationship flex I've ever heard is, well, we just like similar cakes.
Yeah.
We're just bonded in that way.
She's yeah. just lording, like and lording that over us.
If you find your twin flame, you're going to be yeah. eating the same cakes all the time.
But if one person
when you
likes...
meet your mirror, it's like, you just like the same cakes.
Yeah, but if one person's like strawberry shortcake, the other wants German chocolate cake. You're not gonna. That's not gonna last.
It's like, what if one person's a cake person, one person's a pie person?
Oh, well,
not gonna work out.
It's what we call doomed. That's the word is doomed.
That's funny.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I gonna catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to? I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Welcome back, DGS 223. People online are debating whether this is cool or not. There's a video going around out there of a woman who is in the middle of ordering at a restaurant, got a phone call, and paused to take the phone call, making the server stand there while she talked for about 60 seconds and then wanted to finish her order.
No way.
Straight to jail.
Walk
is
away.
Did that really happen?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a staged skit or whatever?
I mean, it's in my show prep, so I don't know.
That's bananas.
Prison.
Prison. Prison time.
Yeah, not a fan. Not a fan. You don't make that person wait.
Was this person...
You answer the phone after the fact. Like, you do your order... Yeah. And then you pick up your phone and call that person back.
Or do we have- if it's like an emergency, you say, this is an emergency. Yeah. I have to walk outside. I will be back. I apologize.
Right.
Do we have any information? Was she alone at the restaurant?
I don't know this.
Okay. Because my next question is, what is the reaction of her table mates?
Yeah.
How did they feel about the situation? Are they like, yes, this is normal? Or were they like...
That's Susie. She's always doing that.
Yeah. Or were they like, what in the hell is this? Because I think that's the reaction I would have.
I have a couple people in my life, not my immediate family, who I love to death. And they're really great people. But they have terrible restaurant etiquette.
What do you mean?
They're just kind of dismissive to servers. And it always bothers me. Mm. I always try to be extra syrupy nice because I know they're going to kind of... low-key ignore them.
Can I have a really hot take here? It's sure. A very strong take.
Let's do it.
And I apologize if it offends.
Nah, man, just go for it.
If you are like that, you're not a really great person. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you're a decent person.
You're not an A+.
You're not an A+ if you're dismissive and rude to service workers.
I think this is
Well, I was talking about Steve Moore. So,
like, in the world of, like, sports scouting, if you're scouting NFL players for the draft or whatever, one of the things they like to do is look at how those players treat people that they think are beneath them.
Ah.
So, like, how do they handle when they're at a hotel and a doorman opens them? How do they talk to a server at a restaurant? Those are things they want to know because that tells you a lot about your character. If you're just not going to be nice to someone because you think they're there to serve you, that's not a good review on you.
I agree.
It's not hard to be nice to people. It's one thing if somebody is who's serving you or waiting on you and they keep screwing everything up and getting everything wrong to be annoyed with that and maybe complain about it. That's a different thing. But from the hop, why wouldn't you just be nice? Mm-hmm. How would you like to be treated? Wouldn't you want people to be nice to you?
We keep coming back to the golden rule on this show.
It's not hard, man. It's not hard.
Just be nice, nerds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard.
Should rename that the Wheeler Rule. See if that gets any traction.
It's not that hard, man. It's not that hard.
It's not the golden rule. It's the red rule.
Yeah, it's the ginger rule.
Thousands of years from now when we've lost all the manuscripts, someone gets this show and they're like, well, the great sage Kevin Wheeler.
Oh, my God.
Once said, do unto others.
What a hellscape that would be if people started listening to me like that.
Oh, we agree.
Oh, man. Craig says, but waiting is literally in her job title. I'm sure Craig is kidding.
Yeah.
I hope Craig is kidding.
Gotta be.
But that is something that bothers me is when people are like, it's literally their job. It's like, okay, so, all right. So you're just using that as an excuse to be a jerk. Like, I get to be mean to you. You're in one of those positions that allow people to be a big jerk.
I do take that as a sign of the person who's treating that person poorly, having some problems of their own, like low self-esteem, where you think people crap on you, so this is your chance to take some power. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't even know that it's a conscious choice. Mm. But there's something underlying when you're just mean to people you don't need to be mean to.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're punching down, that's...
And the funny thing is, you're typically not necessarily even doing that, right? Like, that's just how that person views it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that person that's waiting. No, so the person that's sitting at the table thinking they're punching down at their server, man, in 5 years, that server might be your boss. You know, a lot of times people that are servers are young people that are just making money so that they can pursue. Not that I'm speaking
or
from my own.
They could kidnap you and put you in a cage. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you going to do? Bet you're nice to him then.
Yeah.
Guys, DGS and Camo X, happy Friday, 2:35. Bernie Miklas joins us. Hello, Bern.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you, DG, and everyone on the show.
Thank you, my pal.
Yes, sir.
Earlier in the show, we had a young man on named Dakota, and he turns 28 next Tuesday, and his birthday wish was to be on the DGS and to talk baseball. The young man has cerebral palsy, certainly doesn't define him, but it's something that he's obviously dealt with his entire life. And he's a bit of a baseball savant and really knows everything there is to know and would love to be involved in the baseball world as a career. And so we had a really nice conversation with him. He was here live. And I said, so who do you like in the broadcast world? And your name was the first name that came up. He loves listening to Bernie Miklas.
I don't know why, but that's I'm actually taken aback by that. But very sincerely, say that's humbling. That what a wonderful compliment. Thank you.
Pretty nice. Pretty sweet. And he's a ginger, and he's a little bit mean.
Yeah.
And him and Wheeler next to each other. My God, it looked like Wheeler had a ventriloquist dummy.
My brother from another mother.
I. Yeah, I was going to say something mean, but you took care of that, Glover.
Everybody look out.
I know. I tell you what, man, I would have nightmares. The idea of rolling over, switching a pillow or something and just kind of staring out there. And I see this Kevin Wheeler dial like coming at me,
Chucky.
Like all evil. Yeah. Like Chucky or something like that. That'd be a terrible way to go, man. Terrible way to go.
You got a little Chucky to you, don't you?
A little bit.
Yeah,
a little
bit. you know when he's Chucky? Just if you just don't get Wheeler talking about catchers. He just loses his mind.
You're right.
I know.
I was watching him and Matt Pauly last night on Red Bird Rush Hour. Wheeler just wouldn't stop talking about catchers.
I know.
And beating up on all of them. It was actually really funny.
My favorite, and I heard that, Bern. I was driving to band practice, and I got to listen to the whole thing. My favorite moment of Red Bird Rush Hour, Wheels, I don't mean to embarrass you. Okay, I do.
You don't have to worry about it. It's fine. Do.
It was like 3 weeks ago, and I'm on my way home, and I'm listening, and you're doing what you do. And Paulie, the nicest man in the world, goes, "Will you just let me finish what I'm saying?"
Oh, man.
Yeah,
and he, meant it. He said it like that.
No, he did. Yeah. He did. It was great.
And Kev's like, I'm sorry.
I like it when people just like tell me to calm down. I need it.
Well, you get fired up about what's something that you are passionate about. That's good. I mean, that's the way we're supposed to be, you know, in this world of like kind of phony or forced hot takes. I can honestly say this about our crew, the sports crew at KMOX. We'll raise hell, but if we raise hell or we're really ticked off about something, it's totally genuine. There's no acting job going on, you know?
Right.
So that's why I love it when Wheeler gets wound up. That's why I never sort of hold back. When I get wound up, you know, let's go, man. I'm going to say what I think. And I think everybody at our station is like that. And I think that's really, really good because I would hope that means people trust us that we're going to say what we really feel from our hearts, in our minds, and we're not doing it just to say, let me do a quick Pat McAfee or Stephen A. Smith here, you know,
right?
That type of thing.
I have a Cardinals hot take.
Okay.
And it's based on your conversation last night about catchers. And I will do a little preamble because it's kind of harsh. Yvonne Herrera is one of my favorite Cardinal players.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
From everything I've heard, because, you know, I know all the guys. He is a delightful human being.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great hitter. I don't want to see him not be a Cardinal. But here's my take. In any given season that Herrera is catching to any significant amount, we are not a serious contender. If we're a serious contender for the playoffs and the series, that doesn't match up with Yvonne Herrera being a catcher even twice a week. Agree, disagree? Am I completely off the reservation?
Wheels, I'll just say I agree, but that's all I'll say because I know you have a lot to say, so I defer.
I mean, I'm with both of you guys. I completely agree. It's a different thing where if he's on the roster and he's the third catcher, right? He's the guy that's going to pop in here and there once in a while, and then you don't have to carry, you know, a catcher that can't help you in another way, right? See, like, so if Herrera is your full-time DH or a part-time first-base DH, and then he's the third catcher, you're making better use of your roster. As it is now, you've got a third catcher who never plays, who is not going to be a pinch hitter in any scenario, and who is going to not be able to play any other position on the field. So, and that, in that case, I'm talking about, it's Pajes is in that role now. Pozo was in that role at the beginning. That's not good roster construction for a contending team. Now, we knew this wasn't a contending team. This wasn't a complaint about this year. But I think in the big picture, there's a reason you don't see teams carry three catchers, especially a third one that they plan on not using very much. Because that person's really limited. If you're a good hitter, you're probably not a backup catcher. You're probably a starting catcher.
So here's my follow-up. Bernie Miklas knows this. Kevin Wheeler knows this. For the love of God, Dave Glover knows this. clearly the Cardinals know this. So is it a function of they're just being really nice to Yvonne? Because I'm pretty good at what I do, but if I went to Steve Moore and said, hey, do you think the next time Ricky Horton's out, I could be the color guy with John Rooney? He would laugh at me. I wouldn't get what I wanted just because I'm a valuable part of this team.
I have mixed feelings about this. I think they genuinely respect him so much for some of the attributes you described. He's a tremendous person and just plays the game hard. He's got a huge heart competitively, things like that. I think because they consider him to be one of their premium players, they wanted to show him their respect. If he was going to put the hard work in during the offseason to become a better catcher, which he has in terms of some of the things, they were going to give him a shot. They were going to show that respect. Because once you show the respect, and it after all, it is a rebuilding year. You show him the respect, and he still can't throw anybody out, well, you got to move on. And I think even Herrera would recognize, okay, you gave me a shot.
That's a fair answer.
Thank you.
I respect respect.
Yes, I'd agree with that. I think it's because it fit with the plan of finding things out, right? Hey, does this work? Well, if you find out by the end of the year, I think we've figured it out by now. I don't think much is going to change in that regard in the next 2 months. If you find out this is not really helping us, it's tough on the bench, we don't really have a good bench this way, and it's not, well, then now you have evidence to present to the players. Hey, listen, you know, we love you, but this is the better role to make us the team we need to be. You know, that kind of conversation. So I never had a problem with them doing this. This season, I didn't think it was going to work. And in some ways, Bernie, I think Herrera's better than I thought he would be. He calls a really good game, I think.
He does. And, he absolutely does.
And I think he does a great job on the challenges. As a hitter and as a catcher, I think he's one of the best at recognizing when the umpire misses and when to challenge. Those are important things, but you need to have some balance to your all-around game. And when part of the problem is you don't block particularly well, your framing's not that great, and you can't throw anybody out, well, those are all big, important things, too, that go along with calling a game. And the problem at the moment is if you could Frankenstein all of your catchers together on the major league roster, that's a hell of a catcher. And what I think we're hoping, I know what I'm hoping, is that someone, Bernal, maybe down the road, Raniel Rodriguez, can be that and be the number one guy who has some all of those characteristics, or at least four of the five major traits that you need to be a good catcher.
Well, Rodriguez, from what all the independent evaluators say, he'll be a legitimate catcher in the big leagues.
Right.
So he's your number one catcher because none of those guys will have the offensive capability that this kid has.
Yeah.
He is just scary in terms of his command of the strike zone, his plate discipline. Mm-hmm. In fact, he'll draw walks. He doesn't get himself out. He hits the ball so hard that when Nolan Arenado was down in Class A on an injury rehab assignment, it was either last year or the year before, he just kept hearing this noise from the cage. He just kept hearing this. And he's just like, oh my God, what the hell is that? Who is this kid?
Yeah.
You know, that's really something when a guy who is a Hall of Fame caliber player, you know, is like excited by some kid he sees down in A ball, you know, because of the sound of the batting practice. So Rodriguez is going to be the catcher.
Yeah.
And by the way, if he's not, then just go ahead and have one of those rebuilds that take like 10 years. Because at that point, that's telling me you're not interested, really, really interested in doing what you can to win. He's got a chance to be a very special player.
Yeah.
He's going to be your catcher. Bernal is a terrific defensive catcher who's starting to have some offense come along well. Those should be catchers one and two. Period. End of story.
Yeah, long term, I completely agree. And it's going to be, to me, Rodriguez, even if he's a good catcher, which all of the reports indicate, like you said, you don't want his bat out of the lineup when he's not catching.
Right.
So you want to have a guy like Bernal, and maybe it's a 50-50 split with those guys where, you know, Rodriguez still plays 150 games. And I'll use the example that's happening right now in Detroit with Dylan Dingler. He's such a good hitter. He's going to have a 30 home run season as a catcher. When he doesn't catch, he's the DH. He's not coming out of the lineup. So his day's off, he's still going to hit because he's that good. And I think you want to make sure that you have a number two or a 1A, right, in the case of a guy like Bernal or Crooks, whoever it ends up being. But I agree with you, Bernal's the more likely candidate. That having that combination allows you to keep that bat in the lineup even on the days he's not going to catch, because that bat's going to be the reason he's there.
All right. Great segment. This was good. I learned a lot. Byrne, tell us about Zuliga.
Wheeler, can you promise me we won't talk about catching the Redbird rush hour tonight?
I can promise you that I will try.
Can you promise me that? Because I may have technical difficulties. You start. I don't know what happened. I can't. My microphone. Anyway.
Welcome back, guys.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Playing my the Glover Band's first set at Frankie Martin's this... Not this Sunday, but next Sunday, the 16th. We're playing from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Beatles, Eagles, you name it. It's basically like Kashi rock. You know, you're going to know every single song. Rach, there's a new trend that's bothering you?
Well, yeah. And I want to start by saying, I try not to get too triggered over the things that I see on the internet. But when I see it happening over and over and over again, and it goes from feeling like a tongue-in-cheek parody thing to... Now people are actually doing
kind of
it,
real.
And it just starts to feel kind of real. So let's start by talking about a term that has existed for quite a while now, and that's the girl boss. Have you guys heard of the girl boss? So how would you describe a girl boss in a few words?
Oh, I would just say that it's like a female badass.
Somebody's assertive in whatever she's doing.
Like a woman who can have it all.
Sure. Yeah.
Like she's doing it all at work. She's doing it all at home. She's a girl boss. She's just like bossing her way through life. I think that was something that was promised particularly to women of my generation is like, you can do it all and you can do it with a smile on your face and it's not that hard. And it turns out it is hard to have it all. And even if you work super hard, it's not guaranteed you're going to meet all those goals, whether it be at work, whether it be, you know, being who you want to be in your family, as a wife, as a mother, or whatever's going on in your personal life. So there's been a backlash to this idea of the girl boss. A lot of people have woken up to like, well, maybe we should strive for something else, strive for more balance there. But as a part of that backlash to the girl boss, there's a new term that's floating around, and that's called the girl baby. And that is the idea of, like, I'm just a girl. I don't know. Oh. Like, my boyfriend does it for me. I don't know. That's a boy job. I don't know. Girl math means that I can spend all the money I want on makeup, and it doesn't matter. Ugh. And those are things that pop up online. And, like, at first it's funny. It's like, oh, yeah, girl math. Haha, that's cute. But then it gets used over and over and over again. And as things so often do online, the meaning starts to change. It goes from a parody and it turns into like an actual goal that people are setting for themselves.
Yeah.
And you see terms like, well, I'm a stay-at-home girlfriend, which that just seems like a bad idea to me. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a lot of value in being a stay-at-home mom, a stay-at-home wife. You have that like legal security there, right? But like a stay-at-home girlfriend being your goal and something you're bragging about online, that is really troubling. So I don't know. It's just something to kind of keep an eye out for. Every time there's this like huge swell of like, this is the new thing, there's always a backlash to it.
Yeah,
and I don't
true.
Think that the women who were really pushing the girl boss thing could have ever anticipated that this is the backlash. And by no means is like every woman doing this or every girl making comments like this.
Yeah.
A lot of these comments are sarcastic, tongue in cheek, but I do see them very sincerely sometimes, and it makes me worry.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I've always thought, not always, the older I get, the more I think it, that we do a disservice. Because I grew up in the era of you could be president if you want to. And it's like, no, I can't. But you learn in life, especially if you have some success like I've had with the show, that first you have to be really lucky and then you have to work your ass off. So being a girl boss or a guy boss or a kid boss or a dog boss, like, it's a little overrated. It's really friggin' hard.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it is the refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.